not this minute, but I want to have the ability to show certain tshuvas that I'm going to be I'll read from the print. I'm used to use the print, but the Talmidim want to read it from the screen will be appropriate. So let's chazer again very, very briefly what we were discussing at the end of the shiur. Come out? I want to recognize Adam Kirshner Shalita, our famous shiur assistant, who's still assisting me, even today he's still assisting me. I appreciate it very much. We'll be in touch. Thank you. We started discussing the issue of what we call Kiddushei Tos, as it came into the Tos is of Beis and Midbeis. Let's chazer again very briefly. Has it come in the very first line? Oshenimsu Islandis. The Islandis Kiddushei Tos, hey. A man marries a woman, she turns out to be an Islandis. Was Kiddushei Tos. They were never married. Aye, it's against a different Gemara. So Rabbi Natam says, Kibli Lave. What does Kili Levei mean? He knew she was an islandist, and he said, I'm willing to marry you anyway. She's very pretty, she's very rich, she's very smart, you fill in the blank. He's willing to marry her, even though she's an islandist, and she cannot have any children, and even beyond that, she's an islandist, she's a Lashon Zohar, whatever it may be. That's Rabbi Natan's teretz. Then Rabbi Avram has a different teretz. What's his teretz? It depends when her islandist state was discovered. If it was discovered in his lifetime, his makbid, they're not married. It was discovered after his death that we cannot make a categorical statement. Maybe he wouldn't have cared. Tosefta, that's a very nice try, but it's against enough in the Tosefta. Okay? It's against enough in the Tosefta. Then Tosefta asks, we'll come to Tosefta Shonim soon. I'm just reviewing. And Tosefta asks, Akasha, he announces I need to get even with Rabbanon, whereas elsewhere it says that she does need. The elsewhere is not really true. Really, she does not need to get at all, and the other sources are sort of explained away without going into all the details. Fine. The last few narrow lines of the Mishnah Fakert, Hamotzi Shemishim Islandis, apparently the get is required. So it's not Suffolk Islandis. How do you know it's Suffolk Islandis? Because at the end of the day, she had a child. A violent has no refuah. Must be she was a Suffolk Islandis. This is the conclusion of the Tosis on that Beis Amud Beis. Tosis Shana Tos in two different Terutzim. To the original question, whether an islandist needs a get or does not need a get. The second teretz is a simple one. When we say over here, Ktana enemis yabemis, what's the reason? Let's review. We have to understand the kash. The tema, this is the inside. The second line of Tosis, before the Yishan, the regular Tosis. Tema, Tamina the Kamada Samachalaf Mibbeis, Kotnu Ktana ain lo choltim lo miyabin. Ktana, why not? Shema timose islandist. So you can't do chalitza or the yibum with a ketana. Maybe it should be an islandist. Frank Tosis, what's wrong? Amayt esyabe mimonoshach im ein islandist shapem miyabe. To be islandist, not mishari de lohay seishesachim. She's a woman with no relation to him. That's a great kasha. So we got two answers in Tosis. Now the Tosis Shalom in the second answer, os aleph. But it says over there, it doesn't mean you're afraid of the relationship with her. There's an additional tzara. So if the man is going to have yibum on this woman, if she turns out to be a non-islandist, gvaldik. If she's an islandist, means he had beer with a strange woman who's not related to him at all. Meanwhile, the tzara, who was assumed, this is basic information, if a man dies with no children with two wives, yibum with chalitz is done for one wife, and it automatically paters the other wives, the tzaras. They can marry whoever they please. So what happens? This man does yibum with the 10-year-old girl. Her co-wife, who was 20, the ripe old age of 20, goes and remarries, has a bunch of kids. And then 3 years later, turns out that this 10-year-old and turns 13 is an islandist. So therefore, the beer that he had with her is a non-event. Meanwhile, it turns out that she was really zekuka liyavim because, after all, there was no yibum. Meanwhile, she married somebody else. A, violating, we're going to read in this week's Parsha, now we're in Parsha's Kisaitse, Lo Sia Eish HaMeis HaChutz HaLish Zor Yavol Yavol Alev Yibma, A, and worse, according to some opinions, the children of Mamzerim, that we'll get to that a little bit later on in the Masechta. So it's a disaster. So to prevent that eventuality, we say, Ektana Lo Tisyamim, according to the second Teretz of Tos Tishonim, if she's the only one, there's no Tzara, then she can be Misyamim and Manashach, That's a second teretz. That's this. All the tirutzim are, I think, are very clear. It's chaz of the three tirutzim we had so far. Rabbi Natan says hikirba, and you need to get. Rabbi Avraham tries to say it depends upon whether it was discovered in his lifetime, in which case no get is required because he's makbid. And if it's not discovered until after his death, then we can't say it so categorically. Tosfos says it's a good try, it's against the Tosefta. Now the last teretz in Tosfos Yeshanim says we're only concerned about the tzara. But now the first teretz in Tosfos, I still don't understand it. No one came over to me to get the prize. Say pshat in this Tosfos. If you want to see, you can still qualify. The contest is still open. What's pshat in the first teretz in Tosfos Yeshanim? Let's look it together. Rabbi Yaakov Mikravil Mefarish. The my Amris Dilma Island Sea, the Imkain the Hoy Sesha Sakil the Fee, Sheilu Hoya Yodea, Shehi Islandis, Lo Kitcha. That's true. No one would ever want to marry an Islandis. But he adds another factor. Kamoke Nami, Im Hoya Yodea Bibirur, Sheyomus Kshiktana, Lo Yakbid Bizman Muat Kokachemi Islandis. If the man knew he's going to die while she's still up before Bas Mitzvah, he wouldn't care. I don't know if it's such a... Tosfos attributes it to the fact that it's a short marriage, he doesn't care. I would say a little bit of a different word, that the distinction between an islandess and a non-islandess is not apparent when she is a ketana. So if he dies when she's still a ketana, he married when she was 10, and he died when she was 11, it's not just so much because it's only a short... Oh, it's a short marriage, only a year. That's not to me. I think is a more important consideration. That between 10 and 11, it's a difference if she's an Alice now. No one even knows. But you don't even know. That's what I would have said to explain this phenomenon. So this gives a little bit of a different twist. What bothered me, and I'll repeat it again, does anybody have a COVID here? By the way, I'm curious. Don't have the COVID? What bothers me is the issue of what right do we have to take the future into consideration in determining what he thinks at a particular time? In other words, a man marries a woman. No one has a crystal ball. No, did we just read yesterday? Tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha. Shouldn't look for Maonanim and for Kosmin. We're going to tell you what's going to happen in the future with your astrology, with your crystal ball, with your who knows what they have on them. We're not supposed to do that. Tamim tiyem. If he knew he was going to die, why should that be a consideration? Halacha l'maisa, everything should depend upon what exists at the moment of the marriage. I wouldn't want to necessarily go with the future considerations. But Tosfos Yeshanim in the first teretz does. If he would have known that that she would die when she's still a ketana, then it wouldn't bother him so much that she is an islandess. But no one knew that. Who knows when she's going to die? No one knew. That's what bothers me a little bit about the first teretz and the Tosfos Yeshanim. We'll amplify upon that today, whether we have a right to take into account present and past considerations on the one hand versus future considerations on the other. Here's a case of clearly of a future consideration. She died in the future. She died a year later. She turned 11. She had been 10. So had he known she was going to die, then it wouldn't matter to him that she is an islandess. I don't know if you have a right to go with that. At the moment of the marriage, all you knew was that she was an analyst. You didn't know that she's going to die. And then the fact that she died later, that should be something which we shouldn't even bring into consideration. That's what I would have said. So I'm leaving it with that question, but I want to amplify upon this whole topic much more significantly today and today's year, about past, present, and future. That generally speaking, you want to say that someone made a mistake, and it's a, let's say, mekachtos. What's mekachtos? I mean, I bought something and it's faulty. I bought a faulty object and we said the sale is not a good sale. I never meant to buy such a faulty object. That's only present, not future. Right? Everything can get ruined in the future. We can't just go into, we'll see, I'll show you the sources, chapter and verse, we'll put them on the screen from the Maram HaKaimis. But on a simple level, everything should depend upon the present. Right now, it is what I thought it was. It should be valid. Something happened in the future, that should be an irrelevancy as a general principle. Everyone with me so far? That's what bothers me about the first teretz Tosfos Yeshanim. Yes, sir?
I mean, he also doesn't know that she's an islandess. So that's the whole premise. He doesn't know if she's an islandess, but if he knew that she was an islandess, then he wouldn't have been a Mekadesher, right? So it's just the...
Exactly. If he knew she was an islandess, he wouldn't be a Mekadesher. And And Tosus, in the real Tosus, rejecting Rabbi Avraham, says it doesn't matter if he ever discovered it in his lifetime. He may have died before he was even discovered. It doesn't matter, because objectively we know the average man is not interested in marrying an islandess. Period. So even if he never found out, we assume, like the Tosefta, that the marriage is invalid. So if the marriage is invalid, so what's the difference? Who dies when?
In other words, I understand, because this is a very similar kind of consideration in Tosi Shon. It's like, just like if he would never Makadish her, if it only all says that way, just as if he knew at the beginning that she was analyst, it wouldn't have worked. Because it's similar if you would have known that she was analyst and that she was going to die when she was 11. And also, like, the same, it's just fundamentally the same kind of svar. What's the difference?
No, the difference is very simple. So that's the critical point. So you all asked the critical point. This woman, when she's 10 years old, listen to me very carefully. When she's 10 years old, the symptoms of islandness are not yet apparent. We read the four symptoms of pay. They have to do with puberty. Before that, none of these symptoms are recognizable, detectable. Correct? But it's clear, Tosis is assuming straight through, that once an islandness, always an islandness, which means always an islandness in the future and always an islandness in the past. In other words, you were born an islandness, except that there's some... Whatever the physiology is, I'm not into the medicine. You can look it up on your sources. The word islandess, and see how they translate it to English, and see what we can perhaps use as a modern medical term for the islandess of old. Look it up, and maybe there's some good medical works. There's encyclopedias. There's Dr. Steinberg's encyclopedia Hilchatit Rifuit. You look up islandess, they'll probably give you a modern medical term. Could be even online. You can press a button. I don't know for sure, but you can certainly look it up for tomorrow. I think we have it in Medish or in the library. I'm just curious, what is the modern medical term? But whatever the medical term is, there's no doubt in my mind that she was born that way. We didn't know it, but Igloi Milsalem Afreya, that when he married her, she was. That's how we assume that the marriage is not a good marriage, even though she was a ketana at the time they married her, and you couldn't tell the difference. The pshuta. So having said all this, Rabbi Osai, is everyone following me so far? Make sure we're on the same page. Everyone with me? You understand? Any questions? What we did today so far is simply review the Tosis. We gave the shock of the tire of the top Tosis with the shock of the tire of the Tosis Yishana. That's all we did so far. We didn't do anything new. That's all. That's very important to review. You have to always review 100 times until we get these things clear. Any questions before we proceed? Nobody? No one has any questions. Okay. So now, Rabbi Osai, we're going to be starting the critical topic of, is there any possibility to discuss a situation of a marriage when there was a mistake, either mistaken, he didn't know something about her, or she didn't know something about him. And what are the parameters? When do we say it's Kiddushei Tos, and when do we not? We have, for example, over here, when it comes to islandess, Tosis claims, based on the sources, that if it's determined that she is an islandess, he had no idea what Tosis calls lo hikirba. He didn't know that she was an islandess, and it turns out that she is an islandess. So we say that the marriage is no marriage. Right? That's what Tosus is saying. Ain't a tzrich again. Not everyone agrees, Rabbi Osai, to what Tosus says based upon our sugya. Why? How does Tosus know that a get is not required? How does Tosus know? They assume it's not required based on the Yavamis Dav Beis. How did they know? Let's look again in Tosus to see. This is the Yom-Tom, the end of the narrow lines with the word Afilim with the Rabbanan are in brackets. Why? The e baya, if she would require a get, even with the rabbanon, hoisa tzarasa choletes velo misyabemes kiditnam b'masnisin kol shiachol lemoin velo miyana v'chule. So what does that mean? That means that in order to say, Rabbi Osai, that. What did the Mishnah say? Let's look at the Mishnah, the text of the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah says, "V'chulon imesu o mianu o nizgarshu o shenimsu islandis seroseyan utaros." Why? Because this woman never had any relationship to her husband, because the marriage is no marriage, right? At the time of the death, let's put it this way: at the time of the brother's death, this woman was not married to that man, right? That's what it says, Mefurish Mishnah. Okay, and it goes into some of the details. And the last line of the Mishnah is, V'chol ha'yachol l'moin v'lo miyina, tzoros v'chol lethes v'lo m'siyah b'emes. What does that mean? Last Rashi on the Mishnah. V'chol ha'yachol l'moin k'gon she'ha erva k'tana v'yachol l'moin, because she was not married by her father. This week's parasha is beating this out of the Shazet. Her father had died, and the mother or the brothers married off midrabbanan. U'meis achiv ho'el v'kidushel ein ele midrabbanan v'zikas nifilos midrabbanan. Eina poteres tarosa menachalitza l'siyabem asura kin the mefarish time of b'gemara sheniris tzoras erva. And therefore, whenever there's a derabbanan dikadin, that's the halacha. It's choletzes velo misyabem. So Tosis extrapolates from this case, the last line of the Mishnah, to the case of islandness. If it would require a gemed rabbanon, we would say, all right, it requires a gemed rabbanon, the dinner should be choletzes velo misyabemis. But that's not what it says over here. Now what it says, it says Torosei and Mutaros. So obviously, it says Tosis, there's no requirement for a get, even Midrabbanan. So writes Tosis. Does everyone agree to this? No. I have on my Mara Makomas, I'd like to first exhaust the Mara Makomas from the, which are printed right over here in our Sefer. Okay, Erbosai? I'd like to show you the Nemuka Yosef. Nemuka Yosef should be here somewhere. Is there one? No? I guess I made a mistake. I don't see the Nemuka Yosef here. My mistake. Okay, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. I made a mistake. But the Nemuka Yosef still, even though I didn't write it here, it's still found in the Gemara. So let's turn to the Nemuka Yosef, Rabbi Osei, and see what he says. On the Mishnah. Again, I apologize. I thought I had written it down. I guess I made a mistake. Here we go. It's on my edition, which is the new ones. It's page Aleph. I imagine the old edition is certainly on page Aleph. In our edition, it starts in the last paragraph on the page Aleph. If you have an old edition, right before it says Gemara in big bold letters, it's the last, I would say, 10 lines or so. The Koster Rabbeinu Tam Zal tells you where it is. Sefer HaYosher, Simon Kuf, Ayin Hei, Schlesinger. It's a Schlesinger edition of the Sefer HaYosher, which is the most common one. The Lerava, the Lav, Tamei Mishum Mekach Tos. Evshar, the island is, you know what, let's start a little bit earlier. Islands, Oshinim to Islands, a little before. So he quotes, first he quotes Rashi. The bold print means it's quoted from Rashi. Umefarash betos Sefta, Perek Aleph Alocha Beis. Hai Nimtzu, Bein Bechai Abal, Ben Liachem Yisoso. Against whom? Rabbi Osei, against whom? Rabbi Avram, right? Mibugila and Tosis. Okay. V'Rav Asi Pirish B'Gemara Daf Yud Beis Amin Alf. Davko Nimtzu Dahainu Shalo Hikir Bo U'Mishom Mekach Tos. And therefore, the marriage is no marriage. And since the marriage is no marriage, Tzorosel Mutoros. Avo Rav Pirisho Bein shehikir bo bailo, bein shelo hikir bo. Why is that? Vafilu hikir bo, tzorosa muteres. Now the question is, why is that? If hikir bo, the marriage should be a marriage. Zokt rava, shum de keva and the lo chazio liibim klal. Why? Because the hokim la ochiv shame, this week's parasha, cannot exist because she cannot have any children. Harehi kitzaras erva shelo b'makom mitzvah. That is a whole different concept, which not going into right now. What it means, if you look in the footnote, footnote number Chof, Kitzores Erva Beish Acher She'eino Ochiv to Lo Shaicha Mitzvah Yibum. There's nothing wrong with Tzores Erva if there's no Yibum involved. Here also no Yibum involved. V'chisa B'Rishalmi Eilis K'mi She'eino Bo'olam. So in Chof Aleph he explains Mashmar Dehikibo for Lo Hoysa Kiddushin B'Tos El Dehikimi She'eino Bo'olam. Why? Because she's not involved in the parash of Yibum. There's no lachim lachim shem. Okay. V'hadik atonish nimtzu, tonish shahayu. That's the one after Beis and Aleph. Nimtzu implies he didn't know about it before. No, show him if you knew about it before. V'hilchos akarava. She's passing that karava. That even in that kind of a case, we say that Tzoras Islandus is mutems. Because the Rabbeinu Tamzal. The Rava, the Lav Tamei Mishamekachtos, Efshar, the island is Shlohikuba, Gita Midirabonon Baya. Maybe you need to get Midirabonon, according to Rava. The Asya Shabbat has decent Ksuba stuff, Kuf. The Mama Enesh, the island is Enlem Ksuba. The Mashma Ksuba, who the less, the Hogita Baya. As you see in that fine gift, that's all we know from Tosvis. And we also understand Af Samach Alf Shema Timotze Island is Nimtzu Pogan Bierva Vimisad La Boya Gita Klal Tisyavim Tanam and Monash. Just Tosus Kasha Avali Boya Gita Midrabonon Aminin Pogan Bierva Midrabonon Midrabonon Rabosai. So the Nebuka Yosef is saying, also called Rabbi Natan, that if you say we pass like Rava, then it's possible to assume that an islandess requires a get midirabonon. It's a bit of a pell on Tosis. Why is Tosis oblivious to all this? So perhaps Tosis has learned the Pshat in the Mishnah according to Rav Asi. It's true, Rav Asi, we don't paskin like him, right? But we have to figure out according to Rav Asi, and we don't find that Rav and Rav Asi argue on this particular point. So they extrapolate from Rav Asi to Rav. That could be Pshat within our Tosis. In any event, Rav Asi, this is an important yisod. Halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Natan suggests perhaps an idol does require a get midirabon. Okay, so before we go any further out of what we have in front of us in our own Shas Babli, I wanted to show you this mukayos. Any questions? Okay, so now if you want to help me, Rabbi Osai, on my, excuse me, my screen man, Ellie, okay, the other man, the Ramban that's on the Maror Makomos. Not everyone has a Ramban here. Let's get it. This is on the Maror Makomos. The Ramban, Chidushi Ramban, Yevamos, Daf Beis, Amud Aleph. That should be pretty easy to find. Dibra Maschil O. And it tells you exactly you've got to get the whole thing on one screen. And then we have the words that we're going to focus on, where he says something which is, when I saw it the first time, I was quite surprised to see this in the Ramban. I have to be honest with you, quite surprised. But the Ramban is the Ramban. You know, you have to understand that the Ramban said so. You have to look at every. What's the matter?
Not loading. All
right. Now, if it's not loading, I'll say about Peh. The whole system doesn't go.
I don't know. There's no internet. It's possible. Oh, there we go.
Everything takes time, I guess, right?
Yes.
Nothing is exactly instantaneous. There we go. Okay. Bari Lan. Chidush Ramban.
Is this going to work? No, this never works, right? So I'll use the other one. The other one? Okay.
The two Bari Lans here?
Yeah, there's one that's better but doesn't work. And one that's worse.
I would prefer the one that's not as good it works and the one that's better doesn't work. It seems to be pretty... It's not technically responsive, it's a chidushim, but
I'll just search. I'll just do that. Oh, browse, right.
I was learning this in case he said, when I hear one day, I'm going to learn how to use this.
Sorry.
You go straight down, you know.
Oh, it should be. It should just control plus, right? So, whatever, I'll just
press on the base. That's what happens. Alright. Oh, that's what we did. Different muscle. Oh, very good.
I got it.
It should be in here somewhere. That's the whole thing, right? Yeah. Is it big enough to read? Can everyone read it? Yeah. You turn off this light, maybe easier to read. Like in the movies, they turn the lights off. Not this light, the front light. The backlights you can leave on, I think. Yeah. Well, in the movies, they turn off the backlights too, no? I haven't been in the movies in a long time. Okay. So I asked you to see, Rabbi, I'll say, if you look in your Maamar Kol Mashid, Ramban, Ubevadai the Rava, will have your day. So here's Ubevadai the Rava. A mouse. Everybody see it? We with me now? Ubevadai the Rava Mukilo Lamasnisin Peshehikir Bo. Uludidei Lo Shaminim Masnisin Klum. Right? Because he, we just watched Mukil Yosef, he holds that's a whole different kind of a din. That he Hikir Bo, nothing to do with Kedushay Tos whatsoever. Avo, Ella, Miu, Midi Ravasi. Ravasi learns what we just mentioned a minute ago. It's Masnisin below Hikir Bo. Nimtzel Nishmal Adivri Hakol. Tohalo Pligi Alei the Rava Baha. They're not fighting about this point. So Rava presumably would concede to Ravasi at this point. Ele Mishim Tzoras Ailes Pligi. A different detail, but they're not arguing about this Nakuda by Kedusha Tos. The Shemeye Shloma. Look at this now. Shezeh Hadin Benose Kitana. Unbelievable. That the only time we say that a Kiddushi Alas is the Kiddushi Tos is that the Alas is the Ketana. Look at this now. Aval Gedola La Mekach Tosu. What? Alas said exactly the reverse. But he explains why the Rambam explains his words. Utsricha get. You know why? Look at this now. Nipnei Shahoyo Lo Livdok. Again. Hoyo Lo Livdok. He should have checked her out. Rabbi said, in today's world, everyone's checking out Shaduchim. I have to check out where she went to school and where she went. There's a mother wears sneakers and Chveis was where I got crazy checks are going on. Hey, check her out with her OBGYN. Is she an Islander or not? I don't know how they did that exactly. They checked the Merichot. I don't know what they did. The whole story is about the Merichot. You know, check her out. If you didn't check her out, you can't turn around later and say, you know, how do I know? Maybe how do you know? If it bothered you enough, you should have done the checking. But that's only if she's already turned 12. So then you can tell on her body whether she's an analyst or not. Uvahochi mashkachas luhu lahanech masnisin kedekasvina. Stop. End the story. Ramban is saying what I would have, the opposite of what I would have said. If not for the holy Ramban, I would have said as follows. If what? If she's 15, 18, 21, and she's an analyst, and he didn't know about it, that's mamash mekach tos. She was obviously an Alice. It was obviously hidden from him. He didn't know. And he would never have married her. No get required. If she's 10, then no one knows. So if she's 10 and no one knows, I would have said, Lefi Aniyus Daiti, I would have said that the marriage was a good marriage. Because as far as anyone on the face of the globe was concerned, be the biggest scientist in the world, she's a 10-year-old kid playing in the sandbox like everybody else. The fact that she's going to turn into an islandist is a future event. We can't say Tos are future events. Okay? A man marries a woman. He's 21, she's 21. They get married. And a week later, she gets Khalila killed in a car crash. Had he known? If he killed in a car, he never would have married her. Well, that's ridiculous. That's a future event. So, same thing over here. Her becoming an Alice, I would have said, on my own, I would say it's a future event. But the Ramban is 100 times smarter than me. The Ramban, first of all, he was a new caller Torah Kula. And second of all, he was a doctor. So Dr. Ramban understood that if she's 10 years old now, and at 15 we see she's an Alice, she was once an Alice, always an Alice. She was always an Alice. And he's saying, a chidish nifla v'noira, the Ramban, it's halacha l'maisa mamish. I think I have a case right now I'm dealing with. Right now, if there's something which is impossible to detect, no one knows it. You can't determine it. No way. But here's a critical but. It's 100% clear that if right now this defect exists, that existed from birth or from not from nothing from birth from before the marriage, it's 100% clear. That's also called Kiddushei Tovos. This is not called a future event. A future event means if right now there may be certain symptoms which indicate, perhaps, but it's not a foregone conclusion. But if it's a foregone conclusion, even retrospectively, that this certain thing existed then, which is going to blossom to the naked eye later on, says the Rabban HaChidush Nifla, that is called a Kiddushei Tovos. Even though he didn't know, nobody could have known, it wasn't being hidden from him purposely, it hadn't come out yet. This Ramban is a blockbuster. I almost fell down when I read this Ramban. I couldn't believe it. And I have a letter which I wrote, I'll read you some of the letter. The minute I saw this Ramban, I quickly addressed the letter, based this Ramban, to a Chosha Verov in Eretz Yisrael, who I'm corresponding with on the following case. Here? Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tav Shin Ayin Aleph. I wrote the letter. I was supposed to have it typed up and emailed on Wednesday, but I forgot it at home. Since then, I haven't had a hand to do it. So maybe if you have a contribution, I'll add it to the letter, or subtract what I wrote. The Chulin. I'm dealing with the following case. I kid you not, I couldn't make this case up. It's a real case. Let me give you a little background. Nowhere in Shas Bavli, or Yerushalmi to my knowledge, is there ever a case explicitly which tells us that if a woman is married to a man and the man has a significant defect, that we can say that the marriage is no marriage. The other way around, we have it right over here, islandess. Tosis says when it comes to an islandess, that if he didn't know she was an islandess, lo hikir boni, married her, the marriage is not a marriage. She doesn't require a get midnat Torah. She doesn't require a get mid the Rabbanon. Doesn't require. And there are other similar cases in the Masechta Ksubos. Who has the Masechta Ksubos with them today? Good. Okay. I brought mine too. So we have to look in Ksubos. We'll see soon. If you saw the Maram Akomos a little bit. Kincha Stam, Vekinsa Stam. And she turned out she has certain Mumim on the Dorim. So the Gemara suggests that the marriage is no marriage in certain cases. Fine. All referring to shortcomings in the woman. What about a shortcoming in the man? Nowhere in, I repeat again, nowhere in Talmud Bavli, or to my knowledge, Yerushalmi, to my limited knowledge, but I saw the Sfarim say it, I'm just quoting them. Nowhere in Shas does it say that the marriage is considered null and void. Of course, the question is, why not? If he finds a defect in her, it's null and void. Why shouldn't we say, if she finds a defect in him, which she didn't know about, it's null and void. Why not? What? Yes? What does that mean, Pitzer Peruvu?
There's no. The Mitzvah Peruvu is the man, so there's no difference.
You're saying as follows. If the man discovers that she's an islandess, it's a Mekach Tos, because he's a Mitzvah Peruvu. If a woman discovers that he's, we'll call it the equivalent of an islandess or something like that, shouldn't matter. She's not Chayim Peruvu. It's a very good point. If we're limiting ourselves to islandess and the male equivalent. But so we're discussing other movement on the Dorim, even as the Gemara puts it. So why should there be distinction between men and women? Yes?
Maybe like in the second paragraph of Kedushin where we say that, you know, like a woman would rather, you know, have...
Oh, the magic words. The magic words, Rabosai. The magic words. Tav lemesav tandu. The Mesa of Armelu, magic words. What's the literal translation of those magic words?
Rather live with someone than nobody?
That's a nice way to say it. She'd rather live with somebody than with nobody. And this is a particularly female characteristic. I'll give you some history. Back in 1975, I believe it was. I may be off by a year here or there, but I think that's when it was. 1975, my Rebbe of Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, was very upset when a particular rabbi suggested, we have a right to obviate marriages on a much more frequent basis. And his assumption was that Tav Lemes of Tandum and Lemes of Armalu, which is a presumption which the Gemara makes, it's in a few places in Shas, no longer applies in the 20th century. Things changed, Rabbi Osai. No longer applies in the 20th century. My Rebbe was, generally speaking, a pretty mild-mannered individual. It didn't come down too hard. Take a look at Yavam and see Kuf Yud Ches on his base. Give a look to see it. Just to see the words. Kuf Yud Ches on his base. Kuf Yud Ches Amad Beis. Last few lines. Interesting shaling Mara has. Boy minei rova mei Rav Nachman. Hamezake get l'ishta b'mokam yova mao. What does that mean? Generally speaking, some of you must have done gittin sometime or other. A get is considered to be bad for a woman. So therefore, if I want to give the get to the woman, I have only one choice. Give it to her in the hand. Unless she appoints an agent specifically. But what happens if it's good for her to be divorced? What's the example? B'mokam yovam. What do you mean b'mokam yovam? What do you mean b'mokam yovam? So Rashi explains b'mokam yovam. Sheyesh lo ach. V'niskaven lepotro emenu. He thinks he's going to die without children. And should he be stuck with his brother? Right? Shalom b'mokam yovam is who bole garsha pshita lo and lo megarsha atzeget hi eliyadah. Why? We have a rule. Zochen lo adam shalom b'fonav. The ain chav lo adam shalom b'fonav. Elohacha mi'amina zechusula. It's good for her to get divorced. Why? Her marriage is going to end soon. Her husband's going to die. If she doesn't get divorced, she'll be stuck with this brother. Who knows what's going to be? She's better off being divorced. Should we say that? Or should we not say that? Should we say, Kaver de Sanyole, she hates the brother-in-law, Zuchosula, to get out of one of his clutches? Vizach alonis lobafana. Odilma Kaver de Zimna de Rachmila, maybe she'll like the brother-in-law. Chovula, ben Chovulonim shalobafana. What says it's not clear? Vaita. Hamazaka get leads to be welcome Katotam out, having a big fight. They've been fighting for years. And now the husband decides enough of her already. I'll give her a get. She's been telling her neighbors, I wish she'd divorced me already. Finally, the day of she's been waiting for arrives. He wrote her a get, but she's not around. Can we say we'll give it to somebody else to accept it on her behalf? Okay, when this Laktata Bahadeh is chusula, get out of this bad marriage. Oh, Dilma, Nicha, the Gufa Adifla, look, it's a bad marriage, but still, he's a husband, right? Still better than nothing. Tosh, Madam Rish Lakish, the world famous remark, Tav, Lemes of Tandum, and Lemes of Armalu. There's no Rashi here, but it's probably some Likute Rashi, which you all have these days Likute Rashi. What does Rashi say over here, explaining it? Look on the side, on the bottom. Tan, it's Rashi Tan, Guf, Du, Shnayim, Tan, Du, Mashalu, Shanashim, Omros, Albal, Kol, Duhu. Barely a husband, alright? Yeah. Shehu Tov, La Sheves, and Shnei Gufim, Misheves, Almona. Better to be two bodies, even though, look, he's not everything you dreamed about, he's not the Godel Ador. And he's not the Oshir Ador or the Chocham Ador or whatever, the Tzadik Ador. He's very far from it, but he's a body. Okay? Begufim Shnayim Baal V'Yishta Afilu Eino Loyal of the Tzavis B'Alma to keep a company. Guf Shnayim, it's all the Kutei Rashi in different places. One's Kiddushin Amal, Kiddushin Av Zayim. Guf Shnayim Moshel Hedjadu Shanashim Omas Tov L'Shevas and Guf Shnayim Mishevas Amon Suba Sayin Hey. Guf Shnayim, Kolomar Isha Becholduhu Nichala. She'd settle for anything. She'd settle for anything. Not politically correct, Rabbi Isaac. Very far from politically correct. Very far. Very far. And the other particular examples that are given is a very very I don't know how to say it nicely. I'll let you read it yourself, okay? I'm not going to read it right out loud. The next few lines, and the last line is the hardest of all. V'chulon mizanos v'tolos b'baleihem. Do you believe this? That a woman wants to be married this way, if she was promiscuous and she conceives a baby, no problem. She'll attribute it to her husband. These are in the olden days. Now today, I don't know what goes on anymore. But in the old days, having a child out of wedlock was a scandal. I'm old enough to remember that. But even in the broader outside world, a child out of wedlock was a scandal, an unbelievable scandal. This way, she could have a husband, and maybe the child is from some other man, before they had DNA testing, and she can attribute it to her husband, and Shalom Yisrael. So she has to have a husband to be able to attribute a child that she's going to have from her promiscuity to the husband. This is already we will see as we go, bit by bit, the parameters of this halach. I just wanted to show it to you inside. It's found in Shas. It tells you inside where it's found in Shas. Here in Yevamos, Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, which is Os Ches, Kiddushin Zayin Amem Aleph, Ksubas Ayin Hei, Babakama, Kuf Yud Aleph. All these Gemaras are important. Okay? They're all important. We have to see the parameters of this Tavla Mesev. So when the rabbi said he wants to eliminate it, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zichron Levracha said, these chazakas are, in his words, these are his words. It's a famous drasha, and it's been transcribed. I have a copy in my hand, it's in my car, of the CD. You can hear the voice, but it's also been transcribed word for word. My Rebbe said, this is true, quote, Kimei Hashamayim Al Ha'aretz. As long as the heavens will be over the earth, this chazaka will be true. Now, I do not think that my Rebbe meant it to listen to the same extent, to the same case, in every single situation, but to with one brush, to knock the whole chazak away, to say it doesn't apply to the 21st century, he said that the 20th century. My Rebbe said, if that's the case, we can take the Gemara Yevamos and the Gemara Gittin and light a match to it. You'll save me time, he said. I don't want to say any more Gemara Shirim on Yevamos and on Gittin. Light a match. This is not my Rebbe's style. Those who know his personality, they're not usually get so exercised, especially in his public appearances. This is a public appearance. I believe this drasha took place right across the street. I think, and Reuben Shul, I think it was there, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was in some convention off our campus. Go online. This is one of the most famous drushes that everyone talks about. It's so much so that even the individuals who are very far from my Rebbe in their Hashkafa, they will call it the anti-Zionists or the Turikatniks even they picked up on this drasha. They printed it in something called Light Magazine. I never heard of it. But in the old days, 25 years ago, it was a mamish, and the Turikatnik type of magazine, they printed it. Because that they finally got my Rebbe there. They quoted, look, even Rabbi Soloveitchik, who's the head of the modern branch of Yiddishkeit, of Orthodoxy, even he came out such fire against this kind of thing. And on both sides, it's ad hayom hazeh, this battle is going on. Ad va'ad b'chlal. With all the new manifestations, I'm not going into all the details right now, but we'll be discussing these things as the year goes on. Ad hayom hazeh. So this is this expression, tav l'mesa. So that's what you want to say. That maybe there's no possibility of any husband, no matter how, give the expression, bad he is, and however you want to define bad, it's impossible for us to say that marriage is invalid because of the terrible shortcoming that existed in the husband that she did not know about. You know what? There are Gedolei HaPoskim who subscribe to this point of view. And if according to them, it's impossible to even discuss Kiddushei Tos when there's a shortcoming in the husband, we can only discuss Kiddushei Tos and a shortcoming in the wife. Yes, sir.
Can you also say maybe that because he's being the Kadeshir, so since he's doing, I guess he's acquiring her, so it's, it has nothing to do with him?
Well, we say the word acquire, so we have to be a little bit careful in how we use that phrase. It is true that the form of marriage is, as we read in this week's parasha again, this is part of big parasha, Ki yikach ish isha, the man takes the wife, right, to himself, ki gachishisha. We all know that the ceremony of marriage is a man gives a ring to the wife, he says the magic word, she is passive. Kiyikach ish isha. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. It's not that way. It's a serious challenge on the marriage. Some of the other manifestations that exist in today's world are problematic from the purely halachic perspective, aside from anything else. Fine. But that's only, I want to interject immediately, that's the form of the marriage ceremony. We reject utterly any intimation that when a man marries a woman, he is acquiring her in the way that he acquires chattel, the way he acquires a chair or a house or a cow. Chalila v'chalila. There's no truth to that whatsoever. Absolutely not. That's another. We will be discussing this week, Mitzvah Hashem. There was a, back in 1998, who were you in 1998? Elementary school? Okay. Back in 1998, there was a Beis Din. This is the Rebbe Meir public record. Everything I'm saying is public. I'm just trying to, I'm not giving any many secrets. A Beis Din that was called the, quote, Rachman Morgenstern Beis Din. A special Beis Din for Agunos. That they would annul marriages. And it was, I might as well say it now, it was the same Rabbi Rachman who 25 years earlier had attempted to start this process rolling, not out of any, he was a man who had a very big heart, and his heart went out to these poor women who were trapped in bad marriages. And you know, there's an expression in Chazal, Ha'ava mekalkelas esashuru, because he was so compassionate about these women, it's hard out to them, he went beyond the line. And it's interesting that when he passed away some years ago, our Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Lam, wrote a piece, I believe it was printed in Tradition, I'm sure you can get it online, in which he was writing about Rabbi Rachman, that although he had to say the truth, that he went beyond the line when it came to Agunos, I think he wrote that because it wasn't out of, you know, he wasn't trying to rebel against the halachic system. That was not his intention. He was trying to push the envelope out of compassion for these women who were trapped in bad marriages. Nonetheless, the truth is the truth. So when he teamed up with this fellow Morgenstern, I dug up my old files. I was reading it yesterday on Shabbos morning. I was reading it. I have pictures of the two rabbis, and that someone took a picture of them with some woman, you know, you can see her from behind, and the two men are sitting there listening to what she says, and they're trying to know marriages like this. Okay? So they had three bases to annul marriages. One was a typical case. Let's say a man beats his wife. Chmono litzlan. Chmono litzlan. He beats his wife. So they say, oh, he beats his wife. Do you think that the violent nature only began after he put the ring on her finger? No! He was violent from the beginning. But it was latent. He wasn't married yet. So you wouldn't know, we had no. But now, they say that all the new psychological materials indicate that if he beat up his wife, if he's 23 and she's 22 and he's beating her up, he was already this aggressive personality at age 12. So therefore, since she didn't know about it, it's Kiddushei Tos. We can't accept that at all. Because again, at the time that they were married, it was something which was latent. And I repeat again, it was not a foregone conclusion. There's Bechira Chavshis in this world, my friends. There's Bechira Chavshis. He may have been an aggressive sort. Maybe some of the guys in this room are aggressive. Maybe you play tackle football. I don't know, you're a very aggressive sort. I don't know whether you have an aggression built up into you. I'm telling you right now, when you get married, don't you ever, ever, ever express any aggression in word or in deed towards an Eish Chayil. You treat her like a queen. And if you have any aggression built up, get it out. Go right now to a punching bag somewhere across the street and punch it out. and hit the punching bag. Yeah, you have to chalila v'chasim. He has to treat his wife with the utmost of respect and to cherish her. That's what we say at the very beginning of the ksuba, right? The oak here, you're going to cherish her. Okay, Nebuch, he didn't cherish her. So we say he was aggressive from before. So what? B'chir chavshis. So we rejected that. There were those who went as far as to say, the mere fact that he withholds the get from her shows what a bum he is, and therefore they were never married. So our Bezdin of America that I'm involved with, had been recently reorganized at that point in time. So we wrote back, when they finally printed their manifesto in a full page ad in the newspapers, we wrote back to our membership in the RCA, the Biblical Council of America, that will be the case. We can eliminate the whole literature. There's so much written, the man doesn't want to give a get. What do? You force him, you cajole him, you beg him, you pay him, you threaten him, whatever you do. No problem. If he doesn't want to give her a get, then we're never married. By definition. That's preposterous, absurd, against the rabbinical literature of 500 years, 1,000 years. Anyway. So that was one of their... Then he had two other reasons to null marriages. Yes, I'm sorry.
What if you stipulate that before the marriage?
You want to make a kedushin al tanai, right? We'll get to it.
We'll
talk about it. We're not going to shy away from anything here. Whatever you wanted to know, you will hear. We'll discuss everything. Nothing is going to be kept secret. We'll discuss kedushin al tanai. How many people have a Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezra yet? Who has one? Next couple of days, make sure you get one, because that's found in Shulchan Aruch. I can show you on screen, but it's much better to have it in hard copy. Okay. Then they said, listen to this one now. No woman would ever want to enter into a marriage if she realized that marriage implies acquisition. That's what you remind me, he said acquire. Acquisition. She would never agree to such a thing. So therefore, all marriages are batel and mevatel, because the woman doesn't realize what she's getting herself into. Huh? I said, what does that mean? Everyone knows there's an aguna problem out there, and she's wanted to get married anyway. What do you mean? Why does she want to get? Presumably, so she can get married again. Why? I thought she doesn't want to get married anymore. The kids in Imbris, we didn't like that. This is all probably out there, and some of you probably dig it up near your internet. I'm giving you the year 1998. It's probably out there in the newspapers. I don't have all the full files. You can probably find it. That was the second reason, which we thought was absurd. What was the third reason? I just looked at this yesterday. They wanted to nullify all marriage on three bases. One was the fact of the latent shortcomings of the husband. One, no one would ever agree to be, quote, acquired. That was number two. What was the third reason? I'm forgetting. I'll bring it in, Mr. Shem, tomorrow or the next day. We'll see. Yes?
In the case of the man, whatever shortcomings he has, if you have the pasuk of Ki Yishu Ba'ala,
right.
So if you can't complete that pasuk in the marriage, then you should...
Good question. Let's say the man, we'll say a somewhat equivalent of violence, the man suffers from impotence. He cannot do a ma'aseh biyah. There's so much literature about this question. I mean, it's a rare case, but it happens. It happens. Should we say that since Uba'Allah does not happen, so therefore the Ki'ikach is also... So as such, the answer is no. Ki'ikach ish isha Uba'Allah does not necessarily mean that if a kedushin never was, the marriage was never quote-unquote consummated, there never was a biyah, that their marriage is not a marriage. The issue over here is the impossibility of biyah. Because the Gemara is a very famous expression. You probably know about this expression. It's found in Masechta Ksuvos. Those who have Ksuvos, since you already have it, let me show it to you, since you shouldn't have brought the Gemara in for nothing. Look at Avchesim and Beis. This is not in the official Ma'amakomis, but just to at least use the volume. It's a very important piece of Gemara for many other reasons. We should all do tshuva, Rabbi said, Chodesh, Yerun, Chodesh, Elul. The Gemara has, at the very end of the narrow lines, the last four narrow lines, Hakol Yodin, Kala Lama Nichnas Alachupa. Everybody knows why a Kala enters the Chupa. It means V'tashmish. Ela Kala Menabel Piv, Umotzi Dvar Nevola Mi Piv, we call Nibul Peh, nibble pes talking about these matters which should not be spoken about. Afilu nechtam lo gzardino shel shivim shana letova nefach olav lera. Rabosai, this is a famous Gemara. It's found also in Masechta Shabbat Aflam and Gimel, as you see on the side. And there it says, I'm sorry to give you even more things to do tshuva about in Chodesh Elul. There the Gemara says, Af hashomea v'shosek. If people are speaking this kind of dirty stuff, and you're in the room, and you're quiet, even that chalila v'chas is punishable. So if you ever find yourself in such circumstances, and it can happen, I know it can happen, walk out. Or protest. If you have the guts, protest. If you don't, walk out. If you just sit there quietly, it's considered to be tantamount to your approving of this kind of speech, which is dirty language, these off-color jokes and things, which, you know what I mean. This should not be part of the vocabulary of anybody, Kavachom or Ben Yeshiva. Okay, but, so Hakol Yodim, so all the posts can quote that. Hakol Yodim, Kala Lo Menuchas of the Chuppah, and this man is unable to do what the Kala went into the Chuppah for, then the marriage is no marriage. There were those, believe it or not, who say, no, it's impossible to say with respect to a woman. She'll settle for anything. Aye, but he can't do a ma'aseh bia. All right, so there'll be other physical contacts, or he'll support her, whatever. There were those who actually say that, halacha l'maaseh, and say that there's no way, even in this extreme case, there's no way to nullify the marriage based upon tos. That is a serious halachic point of view, which is espoused by many. I will give you a contemporary Gadol who advocated this position, who lived in New York. His name was Rav Henkin. Who heard that name, Rav Henkin? He was considered, my father's a Chachamim, before Moshe even moved in here. When my father grew up in the Lower East Side, Rav Henkin was the person. Not only that, Rav Henkin's son, Zichron Levrach, who passed away, I think, just last year. He was known as Professor Louis Henkin. I never hear that name. He was a world-renowned professor of law in Columbia. And when he passed away, the obituaries in the Times were unbelievable, over-the-top complimentary. Over-the-top. What a great person he was, what a great scholar he was. What he was an expert in international law. That was his specialty. And he had a minion in his office in Columbia. That's where the guy used to dive in the law school. It was like a yeshiva guy in the Columbia Law School. I think it was when his father passed away. I think it was 1973. I think that was the year. And that's when he established a minion in his office, which I think existed, I think, until he retired. I don't know if he even retired. He was working until the end, I think. And my father was a very close friend of his. And when he passed away, I told my wife, you look at the obituary and it comes out, you'll see he was born on November 11th. She asked me, how do you know? So my father always told me, November 11th, I called up Louis Henkin to wish him happy birthday. But they were very close. They were born, my father was born just a few weeks before him. They were very close friends, grew up on the East Side. And his and Louis Henkin's father was was considered the God of Adar. This is before Rav Moshe first moved to America in the later 30s. Right, the later 30s. My father's growing up, you know, and before that, in the Lower East Side. He was at, you know, in my father's teenage years, before Rav Moshe moved in, so Rav Henkin was the address. And even after Rav Moshe moved in, Rav Henkin was, for those who lived on the East Side, was still considered. He was Ed of Ezra's Torah. He wrote Psukim. He wrote a thing called Pirushe Ivra, in which he writes this point. He thinks it's impossible to even discuss Kiddushei Tos with respect to a shortcoming in the man for the reason of Tavla Mesev. And the bigger reason, it's not found in Shas Bavli Yerushalmi. It's just not found anywhere. How can you make something up? There's no source for it. I'll give you a mashal. Those are the Gemara's Aksumas. Take a look over here in the Mishnah. This is on the Ma'amar Kamos. Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Ayin Beis Amid Beis, the last six words of the Mishnah. On Ayin Beis Amid Beis, where we are taught, Kol Hamumim HaPoslim BeKohanim Poslim Be, what's the next word? Noshim. So the Mefarshim, why Noshim? Why not Anoshim? Why does it mention Noshim? Arrive from here that these kinds of movement are only a psul with respect to Noshim. Now with respect to Anashim. I told you so. No matter what the psul with respect to a man, you cannot say to make achtos because tav the mesa. Oh, mafurish mishnah. Have all say with me so far? Who disagrees and says there's a possibility of kiddush etos with respect to the man as well? So Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was Rav Henkin's contemporary and good neighbor. They were very close neighbors. Close, not just geographically, but also they were very close. Neighbors in the Lower East Side. Rav Moshe has many tshuvas about this. Many tshuvas about kiddush etos. We will be seeing each and every one of them that we can find. I brought a few with me here. We'll see if we open them today or tomorrow. Later. But it goes back before. Since we are a shtickle of brisky yeshiva, shtickle, I would like to read with you, either on the screen or we'll type it out. Should Beis Halevi, who wrote Beis Halevi? Who?
Who?
Reb Chaim's father. Reb Yosef Doiv Halevi Soloveitchik of Brisk, first of Halozhin and of Brisk. He was my Rebbe's great-grandfather and namesake. He wrote a long tshuva in which he advocates Kiddush Etos, even in circumstances in which the husband is the problem. A very famous, the Beis Halevi was not famous as a Poisek. He was famous as a Rosh Hashiva and as a Chaber. But the most famous Poisek, I would say, the most famous Poisek probably in the, with that title, Poisek. I mean, the Chofetz Chaim also lived at that time. But the most famous Poisek in all of Halacha, Chofetz Chaim was known as a Poisek primarily in Mishneh Berurah and Aruch Chaim. But probably the most famous Poisek in the first part of the, we'll say in pre-war Europe, in the we'll call the Lithuanian part of the world that we sort of come from, not biologically, but we come from, our school of thought and our yeshiva was Reb Chaim Isaac. Everyone knows Reb Chaim Isaac? Chaim Isaac Grudzinski was pissed away just before the war, before World War II. In Vilna, he was the Rebbe of Vilna. He also has a tshuva like this. It's an Achiezer, an Ebenezer, Simon Chav Zayin, which we'll try to look there as well. And all of these Gedolim, the Beis Halevi, and the Achiezer, and Rav Moshe, Zecha Tzadikim Levracha, and many others before and in between, and then even since, are advocating possibilities of Kiddush Etos with a shortcoming in the man. What do you do with this Mishnah? We'll get to it. We'll get to everything. That's why we have to see. That's why there's all these Gemara Ksubas around the Ma'am HaKarmis for this very reason. Karabosai, so we're going to work with an assumption that Rov Gedolia Poskin, which we're going to demonstrate that even though it's not Meferish and Shas, but there are another one who says this, by the way, is Rav Dovidel Karlina. Probably never heard of him. Who are Rav Dovidel Karlina? No one. Rav Chaim held he was the Gadol Hador. Rav Chaim Briska held he was the Gadol Hador. He was known as his name was Rabbi David Friedman. You all know people named David, everyone knows someone named David Friedman. Sure, he paid right now more than one person, but he wasn't Rav David Karlina. He was considered the Godel Hador Mamish, and he was a very big tzaddik in Talmud Chacham. And people, he wasn't so famous. He wrote Svarim. It was called Piske Alochas, or also called Yad David, but they weren't didn't have the flair of Rav Chaim Svarim or the Beis Halevi. So he was considered by able to be the Poisek Hador in his time, 100 years ago. Anyway. They all advocate that such a possibility of Kiddush Etos exists. Okay. So having gone through this introduction, let us talk a little bit about how this is going to play out here in our sugya. We had this Ramban. I now want to discuss with you, Rabbi Osei, a Tosfos on Av Samachayim and Aleph in Masechta Yevamos. Let's close Ksubas for a minute and go to Yevamos. So this one is on the Maran Makomos. This is still in number 2. Right? We're still in number 2, Rabbi Osai. Let's take a look. Samachayim and Aleph. See the Gemara and one Tosfos. I think I showed this to you at the end of the Shiur on Thursday, did I not? Didn't we? The very end of the Shiur? Pretty sure. The case is as follows. Nises l'revi, end of the narrow lines. V'hoyu l'abonin. Ma'a d'titpe l'shlishi. She had no kids for 3 in a row. Now they all assumed she couldn't have children. Now she had a child from the fourth husband. We tell Amin and La, listen, lady, be quiet. Shtiku sayach yofa midiburayach. The matzi yomala, I know adat adahachi lo gay rashtich. And I would have divorced you. I'd have known you could have children. Whoa. Maskal rapopi yi shaska nan mi shaskina. Nimtza get bottle but em amzeren. He only divorced her assuming she could never have children. Now that she has children, so we should say that the divorce is under mistaken pretense. Answer the Gemara, El Arminon Hashtahu Debriyasa. What does that mean? At the moment he divorced her, she was Takanada Basbonim. She couldn't have children. And she became healthy later on. Let's say, he'll say, if I would have known she'd become healthy later on, I wouldn't have divorced her. That's future oriented, Rabbi Osai. Future oriented does not come into the Cheshbon. That's like I'm telling you. It has to be present. We don't take into account future events in order to knock out the marriage. And this is true, Rabbi Osai. This is true whenever the future event is, I'll say it to you in the following way, the future is unanticipated. When it's unexpected, when it's unlikely to happen, then we this is not going to, we're certainly considering, we assume it happened now, it didn't happen earlier. I'll give you an example, Rabbi Osai. There's a case we'll get to a little bit later on. We'll give you some coming attractions. Rav Moshe has four cases. Did I mention this on Thursday? Maybe I did, no? No. Four cases in which he says that the marriage is no marriage. It was a very serious shortcoming in the husband. Four. The one you mentioned before. Impotence. That's his first tshuva. Evan has a chelek aleph, simin, ayin, tes. That's the first tshuva Moshe wrote on this topic. I have Moshe's tshuvas with me. I brought it with me, the Igros Moshe. I'll just give you, just to give you sort of a background into this tshuva. We're not going to read the whole tshuva now. He quotes the Beis Halevi and agrees to the fundamental thrust of the Beis Halevi. Simon Ayin Tes, Rav Osai, is a tshuva which was written on Purim Katan, Tov Shin Yud Aleph, 1951. So this tshuva is now 60 years old. Okay? Simon Pei is written in Tov Shin Tes Vav, in Nisan. That's 1955. It was written 4 years later. What's the case? Not a case of impotence. A case of a shoter. The actual situation is a man had certain psychiatric problems. Psychiatric problems, the woman was unaware of the psychiatric problems. So Rav Moshe writes, in certain limited cases, the marriage is not a marriage. That's the case I'm working on right now as we speak. I'll give you some details soon. Okay, that's the second case. This is in Chelek Aleph. Then is sort of a gap, and Beis and Gimel is not much, but the Chelek Dalet, you get an impression where Moshe was printing his Chelek Dalet. This is printed in Tavshin Memhei, a year before of Moshe's Petira. Yes, sir.
When do you consider something noticeable, not noticeable? Because maybe according to the Ramban, some of these things maybe you can consider noticeable, meaning like a shota, sometimes you can tell.
Right, she didn't know, she couldn't tell. You asked, why didn't she check up?
Yeah, why didn't she check up?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Why didn't she check
up?
It'll be a problem, right.
Right.
We have to discuss this. We'll be discussing it at great length, in great detail. When did we say he should have checked up? And the fact that he didn't check up, or she didn't check up, he didn't care. Yes?
How do you ever have this case where she's married to the fourth brother and she had a divorce from her other brother?
No. She married Reuven, divorced. Shimon, divorced. Levi divorced, no children.
Aaron,
now Yehuda.
She's divorced, isn't that Ishazach?
No, they're different people, not related to each other.
Oh,
Reuben, not related. They're four guys, not related. No. Yes, sir.
Is abuse considered shota?
A man who abuses his wife? Well, first of all, as I said to you before, by definition, the answer is no. And Rav Moshe explains why the answer is no. But in any event, it couldn't have predated the marriage because you can't abuse it as a wife until you're married to her. So this is a psychiatric case. I'll read you the show. We can put it on the board if you want. But I want to make a point over here. This is in the Chelek Aleph. I'm just giving you an overview. I both said today's an overview day. As you can see from today's shiur, it's going to be a long time until we finish this topic. It's a very important, critical topic. Then we have other tshuvas, Rabbi Osai, in the fourth volume of Igros Moshe Eben Ezer. It was printed a year before Moshe's Patira. And it's very important in this tshuva to see when the tshuvas were written. For those who are not so excited about the very last tshuvas, they say he didn't really write it, others wrote it for him, he signed his name, he didn't sign his name, whatever it means. Simon Pegimel is a fairly early tshuva. It's dated Tov Shin Lamed Dalit. Okay, I mean, it's 20 years after the last one, it's 1974. Okay, and here's a case, Rabbi Osai, in which a man married a woman, and after she married him, she discovered he had converted to Christianity. Slight problem. Just didn't bother telling it. He was really a Christian. So Rav Moshe writes that perhaps the marriage should be nullified on the grounds of Kiddushei Tos. Here's a question, Rav Osai. The difference between someone who's impotent and someone who's a psychiatric and someone who converted to the church is clear. The first two, they can't do anything about it. Nothing to do about it. They're medical conditions, they have nothing to do about it. This one, Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis. He can do tshuva. He can do tshuva, Rabbi Osai. He can do tshuva. So what do you mean? She married him, he was in the church. No big deal. So now go right now down in the shtibel. So get rid of the church. So, nonetheless, which the suggestion is made that maybe the marriage is an invalid marriage. What do you mean? You can always do tshuva. So to explain why this is not so, Rabbi Osai, as the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara that quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Kol Bo'eha Lo Yeshuvun, and Rashi there explains, once a person gets involved in the church or the equivalent of Avodah Zarah Minus, he's very unlikely to come back. And if he comes back, Rabbi Osai, that is a new development. So for argument's sake, Rabbi Moshe's case, let's say Rabbi Moshe with Paskin, he's in the church, I nullify the marriage. Good. Rabbi Moshe nullifies the marriage, she marries another husband, she has a child, and guess what? That guy from the church, he now comes back and davens in the shtibel with a shtreimel. Should we say now that Rabbi Moshe's psak was wrong? Because he came back to daven with a shtreimel and he did tshuva, and he did tshuva shlema? Should we say now that the psak was wrong and the marriage was really a good marriage? No! The psak was right. To paraphrase the Gemara in Samachem and Aleph, hashtahu, that he did tshuva. But it was an unanticipated event, because when you call Be'el lo yeshuvun, this svar is found in a sefer called the Sridei Eish by Bechil Yaakov Weinberg, where he has this yisod. That's the third case. The fourth case of Rav Moshe, the fourth and final of this, you know, of a shortcoming in the husband, in which Rav Moshe is wants to say that the marriage is an invalid marriage, is in Chelek Dalet. So you can find the tshuva. Hold on a minute, please. It's certainly here. Let me look on the back if I can find it in the Maftechus. Hold on. I just don't remember which tshuva it is. I like to show you these things. You can look it up on your own. I'm not finding it this very minute, but I know very well what the topic is. The topic is a woman married a man, and then he found out that this man that she was married to, she thought that he was a yeshiva guy, a good guy, a fine fella, etc., etc., etc. It turns out that he was, in Rav Moshe's words, quote in Hebrew, shatuf b'mishkav zochor. He was a practicing homosexual, Rachmana Litzlan. So Rav Moshe, here it is, I found it. Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. Chelek Dalet, Simon Kuf Yud Gimel in Evan Ha'ezi. When is this written? Tov Shin Lamed Ches, 1978. Okay, this is the last of the four. Let's get the year straight. 1950, 1955, 1970, let's say before, 4, and 1978. So Rav Moshe is writing tshuvas spanning 3 decades, 4 cases. Those are the 4 famous tshuvas of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes, no woman in her right mind would want to marry a man who prefers a physical relationship with men to his relationship with her. That'd be crazy. And therefore, he suggests it's Kiddushei Tos. So Rav Moshe has 4 cases. In our Beis Din, we are very loath to go anywhere beyond Rav Moshe's cases. I will show you, I have a whole literature on people who want to go beyond Rav Moshe. And we have resisted any such thing. I'm dealing now with a case, right now, an active case, where a man had a very serious psychiatric illness. I'll tell you what it is, because anyone a psych major or something like that? It's called borderline personality disorder. Have you heard of it? Look it up, on you'll see what it is. But borderline person, it took me, I got an education in something about this. I called my psychiatrist in Riverdale. Doesn't mean I sit in his couch. Means he's my next door neighbor. He lived actually in my building. That is my neighbor, a very fine man. I called him, what's with this borderline personality disorder? He said to me, it's a very serious condition. And the word borderline sounds like it's very nice. It's on the borderline. It means it's on the borderline between neurotic and psychotic. That's what it means. The person goes on this, crosses the border between neurotic and psychotic. When the person is psychotic, out of control. Psychotic means you're simply out of control. So a woman married a man. She thought he was a regular guy. I will tell you what happened only because I understand that these things are so dangerous. She became a prior balas tshuva to Chabad. And Chabad, again, they mean very well. You know, the older man, older woman. He's male, she's female. And they're both Chabad. Shana Shidduch. So they made a shidduch, and she was married by a Chabad rabbi in Crown Heights. I'm not sure if the wedding was in Crown Heights, or maybe it have been in overseas, so they lived somewhere overseas. And after a while, she sees this guy looks like he's adamant, nuts. So she took her a while to figure out. She became pregnant right away. She left him, mamish, in the middle of the pregnancy. She was afraid for her life. The guy was acting in such a bizarre fashion. And we have a letter from a psychiatrist attesting to the fact that this man has borderline personality disorder. Clone. So I asked my psychiatrist, but maybe this other psychiatrist made a mistake. He told me, in contrast to depression and to OCD, you know what OCD stands for? Obsessive compulsive disorder. These are hard to diagnose. You could be wrong on them. Is it borderline, as he puts it? If you have any training, you can see it. Anyone has any confidence can get it right. I said, is there any cure for it? All the new medicines. He said, there's no cure for it. What you can do is you can treat the symptoms. If he's depressed, you give him antidepressants. If he's violent, you give him anti-violent. I met my psychiatrist yesterday at the Kiddush. He doesn't have it in my shul. I went and then went to a bar mitzvah somewhere. I met him. He said, you're not going to believe this. I just got on the latest journal that just came out. A whole piece on this. Is there any medicine for borderline? And he says, going to give me the article. I'll get it. I'll show it to you. And then they try to pill. What if they're all the pill, and the answer is no. They can just treat some symptoms. So this guy had this presumably before the marriage. The psychiatrist evaluated him before the marriage and said that he has this borderline thing. And on this basis, there's a suggestion that we should say that the Kiddushim and Kiddushei Tos. I met Rabbi Reis Shalita. I don't know Rabbi Reis, who's now our Manal, spent 10 years as the Manal of our Beis Din. and he heard I'm working on some kind of a case like this, he says, ooh, we don't want to go past Rabbi Moshe. I said, Rabbi Moshe is lenient. No, he said, Rabbi Moshe is only lenient if there's hospitalization. So you know what? Can you get me Rabbi Moshe? Let me show you to the time. Will you get me Rabbi Moshe? Shut Igros Moshe. Evan as a chelik aleph simon pei. That's what I want to show. I want to show you where I think that Rabbi Reese, that I'm right. Rabbi Reese is not exactly correct. I'll show you in a minute. Yes.
Was the husband refusing to give a get here?
Oh, they tried to. They pay him to give a get. They begged him to give a get. Impossible to get him to move. They tried everything. Everything. He's in some far off land. It's an impossible situation. She's been good for 7 years already.
Evan
Igros Moshe. Evan as a chelik aleph simon pei. Yes.
What difference does it make if he's hospitalized?
It's crazy. No, so Rabbi Reese said, we don't want to go past Rabbi Moshe. If Rabbi Moshe would limit his case to a situation where he was hospitalized, he's afraid to go beyond Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Reese is a very smart man, because once you go, you know, it's the end, what's the, oh, here we go. He made it bigger print. Let's read together, okay? Rabbos, let's read together. With me? Everyone, can you read it? It's bigger print. He's afraid of people. I'm not sure what this means. I don't know the diagnostic term for it, but you can probably figure out what it is. Let's go. The choshesh ovev sheyechle biyoser ashlo yuchlu lavziko bebayis. Now that no one sees him, he can keep him in the house. People start coming to get a get from him. They're afraid to get more sick. He agunach zechav ki yud dalit shonim. 14 years nemach and aguna. This is written over here in 1955. Since 1941, she's an aguna. That's a long time. V'tovas me'rabonim she'ishtadu l'takonosa. Right? This is. Where are the Rabbanim here? Baltimore. Who's from Baltimore here? Who's from Baltimore? It's written to Rabbi Drazen. Have you heard the name Drazen? It's a famous rabbinical family in Baltimore. It's a Canada family now. The same family. Help, she says. V'nasu shlosha Rabbanim lebeis hacholim shel hatzava Ferry Point. See that word? Ferry Point. V'sigu rishayon la'ayin b'chol ha'niyoros and ha'nitzorim shel odos kol hazeh. Sheshah Shem Ezech Hadashim V'hora V'otziyu Oso Misham Lamros Tassarofim B'Avtachosam. But the doctors will leave him here. B'Avtachosam, the parents promised Shehem Yashkichu Ola B'Besa V'amor Arofim Lehem Ki Yuh Meshugah Mamash L'chol Dov U'v'niyores Nimtze Kosov Me'rofim Mumche Shenichta B'Shnas Lamed Ches L'Mispar. What's Lamed Ches L'Mispar? 19 what? 38. Right, this is being written now in 1955, 17 years earlier. 1938. In the Gemara. That's what he suffered at that point in time. He walks around naked and throws whatever he loses. Mem Dal 1944. It began in 1938. They write in 1944. Okay. He served the United States Army. In other words, he did his years in the army. He probably got an honorable discharge, believe it or not. What that means? Must be a word. Shloshim yom. I don't know what that means. Eso isha azos in 41. V'imkei lo hoya nikir olav siman eshtus. She saw nothing. He was serving the U.S. Army. He can't even sugar serve the U.S. Army. The Hisnade shuv lavod betzava. V'hoya shamerach shtei shanim. He spent two. He ran away from his wife. Spent 2 more years in the army. Ad shero shu meshuga v'chnisu lebeis hacholim beferry point. So I told Rabbi Reis, no, Rabbi Moshe did not require that the man be hospitalized before the marriage. He was only hospitalized, to the best of our knowledge, afterwards, in 1944, married in 1941. All right. Mikolagom dasa rofim shemachas ashtus hoisabo be'etem b'chol ha'es mipam arishin shenechle b'shnas lamet ches shoya b'shol ha'shonim kodem ha'nisuin v'isha lo yoda shoya chol b'shnas lamet ches ha'nachas shtus. Okay. Levad mishim establish a kain sharei lo yodu mi'ezeh anoshem achem ki hora v'stiru zeh, the parents hid it. Right. Roar upon him, Sham, the base of Holland, Michel, Emo, Shemaferetis, Matsova, Shabonami, Yomi, Voldo, Huska Sham, Gamshe, Kalosa, Hishto, Shalahola, Loy Odla, Mouma, Mimachlosa, Akodems. The Lachem is Stapkim, Quota Rosso, the rabbis in Baltimore, and Yeshla, Tira, Mitzad, Bittle, Kidushin, the Hosi, Odash, Shayam, Sugar, Lohosim, Miskadesh, Low, the Koshkin, Shayam, Gam Oz, Sugar, Kad Edus, Arofim, Shavale, Lohosim, Miskadesh, Low. ומאַכל שוויני נגונה ששאַרט גדל אַ תקנוסה דז דא קאַקטי דז איינ בזע אַפ קי מאני לא לא הורס בדבר חומר קזב אַ שמיס ברח יאז ריינו סו די קאַשע קאַס שאַם ביער ריינו אמס אַ לאך דעם מייס דאס דא קוועשן סו יו סי קליערלי איט סימס טו מי פון מאַרש שוב ווען איך גאָנג פאַס דאס פּאַטערן he did not demand a hospitalization before the marriage, as long as we can ascertain. So when it comes to borderline, I asked my psychiatrist, what would happen if he has borderline now? Does this mean he had it 10 years ago? Or just developed now? My psychiatrist told me, as far as he knows, if you have it now, you really always had it. Nonetheless, but it didn't come out. So on my own, I would have said, if it didn't come out, there's no way we consider it Kiddush Tos. Till I saw this Ramban. This Ramban is dynamite. So I wrote in this letter, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm now involved with Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael to try to find a heter for this woman. I'm afraid to take it on my own shoulders. Okay? I said, I saw as follows, that the Ramban says that in such a case, maybe we should consider it to be a problem. It should be considered a kedusha tos, even if it was not exposed at that time. Now, it's interesting because the rabbi from Israel wrote me back. But there are a lot of women who can't get along with their husbands, and still we don't say it's kedusha tos. So I answered in the back of my previous letter, no. There he has bechira chavshis. Has bechira chavshis. The fact that he's a bum, he can do tshuva any day. But here it's a psychiatric, the brain's out of control of himself. Guess what? I found my chilek mafurish, you know where? In the same tshuva. Yes?
Rebbe in his letter wants to combine the Ramban and Rav Moshe's tshuva.
In my letter, in other words, you know, I take it back. I don't think I wrote about the Ramban in his tshuva. What did I? No, because it's not relevant in this particular case. Because this particular case, it's clear that there was certain symptoms were visible before the marriage. But I'm saying with this Ramban, if you combine the Ramban with what Rav Moshe is saying, we could argue even if it wasn't available, as long as 100% foregone conclusion. That's the Ramban saying. Let me just read it. I have to go. I want to read this one paragraph over here. Shaitu mum gadol shein a royal ishus klal before shbi avamas. You can look up in the Gemara. The b'shot elo tiknu nisuin. Why? Shem lo kaima takanta de rabbanan. Then adam dor im nachosh b'kfifa achas. Let me just show you one more Gemara on Yevamos here. Take a look just to see it, and I'll show you one more paragraph. Then I have to go. Please turn to Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Kuf Yud Beis. Rabosai, the very bottom of Kuf Yud Beis and Mid Beis, the first wide line. Shotad lo kaima takata the rabbanan. They didn't do it. Why? Then Adam dorim nochosh bekfifa achas. A person cannot live with a snake. Bistoch kupa achas, Rashi explains. What do you mean? You can't be in a snake in one little cage. It'll bite you. You can't live with a shot. It's impossible. There is no takonas chachamim to have a marriage. That's by cherish. Yes. That's the name of the perik. Perik cherish. But now when it comes to a shot. Oh. So I wanted to show you just this one thing in Rav Moshe, and then we'll end the shiur. Here I quote it. Rav Moshe, paragraph beginning with the words, Va'ayin. Where's the ayin? Can anyone find the ayin here? I passed it, right?
No,
the paragraph starts with the word ayin. Oh, the ayin b'tura, this is it. Shehevi tshuvas harosh, isha mishtata, keep in mind the word, ha-mishtata mideyom v'yom, v'yomeres ishto. Huh? Ovi aniu, my father's poor. She married me off to this guy. I can take this Mishagas. Nuts. Kill me in his anger. This woman ran away. She was afraid that he was going to kill her. Ain't kofnos on the garish. You can't, not that you require a get, but you can't even force him to give her a get, says the Rush. Shen kofn elabosam shamachacham shakofn. If the came as Shulchan Aruch, some shun sifay, it's on the Maram Makomus, kufna al sifay, will the chorus so say the hosh of Yadi the shtus will mum gola shakof and the hotzi, aval poshet, gives my chiluk. Shehem ari rak b'ish pikeach, he's sane, shukason, he gets angry, gets violent, mitzad bidosa hara, v'loshna mishtata b'deyom v'yoh shakosvu, hu rak shem mikaso, Ose masa shote maturif. For the chene lo ein lomar alav shen dorim nashe bekfifa. The kevin should be keach. Ef shalol liros. Shalol yavu lechlal kas. Then she'll give him valium. How she'll do? She'll keep him calm. Ach shu tircha gedol lefanel yisdor bezeh. Doesn't matter. Lechen kevin shalom atzina shakovim bichi agadno shirak tircha gedol sobe shen kofan the gai shalot tricha lefais on the gai shalot tekab lena vetizam in the chosa. Aber kshu shote shol of never in adam dav knovish bekfifa mishum shen shaykh li zar ven shaykh le faisa why kaven shote shalom bedas the psychiatric case vada yodu shkofen im ach yochlit en get kon she item khale if developed after the marriage you would force him to give a get. If developed before the marriage, what Moshe is going to say, we'll see tomorrow in Adam, that the marriage is no marriage. So there we got into the sugya a little bit, Rabbi. So you see why it's such an important sugya. Then that will be continued with in future shiurim. Okay. When do you want shiur, guys? Whatever you want. Take a vote.
People said they wanted it
early. You want 9:30? You want 11:30? When do you want? 9:30 is the best time.